Duluth and the Iron Ore Freighters. Hi, I'm Steve Rudnicki, your host, and welcome to the 4th Apex Mid-Carolina Chapter Podcast. We are providing this podcast as an alternative method to provide PDMs, professional development meetings, to our members. The podcast will discuss a variety of topics and relate them to the Apex body of knowledge. We hope you enjoy this podcast and continue to listen. On June 6th, I took an extra road trip during an Apex meeting in Minneapolis and ventured north to Duluth, Minnesota, as I have always wanted to see the iron ore freighters. Being a Midwesterner, the Great Lakes and steel mills are part of my upbringing. Though I have toured automotive factories and steel mills in the past, I wanted to further follow the supply chain to the ore that feeds the steel mills. Duluth is the start of that supply chain. Northwest of Duluth are the iron ore mines that feed the steel mills in Chicago, Gary, Indiana, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. The ore deposits are so large and close to the surface that it is the first instance of using open pit mining, just scooping the ore right out of the ground, as opposed to tunnel mining that was occurring before its discovery. While I did not get a chance to visit the mine, not sure I even could if I asked, I certainly saw the infrastructure for the remainder of the process. So let's see what I can describe for you using the Apex body of knowledge principles. My assumption on forecasting is that the schedule of the iron ore freighters is the driver to the volume and timing of the production. The process is to extract the ore, load it onto the rail cars, and then send the train to the dock and dump the ore into the ore loader for the freighter. This brings me to two interesting points. First, there is no bill of material. Sure, there are MRO supplies and extracting activities, but we are truly at the beginning of the raw material process. Second, there is a fine line between this being a flow process and a repetitive process. It's not quite flow because you have to fill the trains for transportation, but it's really not quite repetitive process as it really doesn't have batches, unless a train load or a freighter load is considered a batch. I guess I'll have to vote repetitive due to the transportation constraints. So there's this really cool website called www.harborlookout.com that provides the schedules of the freighters to Duluth, Minnesota, and its sister city, Superior, Wisconsin, in a real-time map of the freighter locations, including which port they are in, what commodity they are or will be hauling, along with the specifics of the boat. Seems watching the freighters is a bit of a pastime in Duluth. Heck, I drove 3 hours from Minneapolis and stayed overnight to do it. And like most transportation schedules, they're estimates. So the website is a good way to track the boats in real time. The port is protected by a seawall with a channel for the boats to enter and exit. Adding to the coolness of this process is that you can literally be close enough to see the crew members' faces, and at the end of the channel is a car bridge that raises some 8 stories to let the boats go under. Enjoy the pictures on the website. So allow me to digress a bit and remind you of a popular song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, by Gordon Lightfoot. I would encourage you to listen, or re-listen for us older folks, to the song and pay attention to the lyrics. Loading iron ore involves filling multiple bays in the ship's hull at the same time. Thus, once the ship is positioned, some 12 to 14 loading channels extend over the ship, and the loading begins all at once. The flow of the ore and the position of the chutes extend and retract to evenly fill the bay and keep the entire ship balanced both side to side and front to back. As the song sings, with a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. By the way, the boats are larger today than the Edmund Fitzgerald was back in 1975. That was a 7-footer, 700 feet long, and the current boats are 10-footers, 1,000 feet long, and the current boats can carry up to 72,000 tons. That is the max, as a Sulak, which is on the St. Mary's River, which they must pass through to leave Lake Superior and get to Lake Michigan, is just a little bit longer than a 10-footer boat. So the capacity constraint of the Great Lakes is in fact the lock through which the freighters must pass. I arrived in Duluth around 1 p.m., and a fully loaded freighter was to leave at 3:30. I visited the Corps of Engineering Museum and came to the viewing area at 3:30, only to learn that departure had been delayed. 1 hour later, there was still no ETD, estimated time of a departure, but using the handy website, 2 hours later, I noticed the freighter had pulled away from its dock and was working its way toward the channel. Note in the picture the height of the boat in the water. My next event was 8:30 a.m. the following morning, when the Niagara was to arrive empty. However, as I rolled over in bed at 6 a.m. and scanned the Harbor Lookout website on my phone, she was 90 minutes early, and I had 20 minutes to get dressed and go meet her. Note how much higher she sits in the water empty. The interesting aspect of this tour is obviously the transportation component. If you have already loaded a train with iron ore, why unload it into a boat? Why not just send the train to the mill? The answer lies in two areas. One is the volume of material being transported, and hence the length and the number of trains that would be required. The second is the congestion of the rail traffic around the major hubs, especially Chicago. In fact, Chicago has been attempting to get funding and support for a multi-billion, yes with a B, dollar project to reroute trains around Chicago, as a train can take up to 3 days just to get through the city due to other rail and commuter traffic. Also, as we have learned, water transport can move the largest volume of material and is in fact the cheapest mode of transportation. Other than the Sioux Locks, the Great Lakes are very open between the Duluth mines and the Chicago and Cleveland steel mills. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you on our next tour.